Good afternoon, everyone. And I had to chuckle about the bio because I submitted four different bios for different sessions here, and that one was for my Alzheimer's disease work. So we're not talking about Alzheimer's disease in after-school settings today. But related to this work, one of my roles at Samuels & Associates is around evaluating nutrition and physical activity, environmental and policy change. And we had the opportunity to work with the Healthy Behaviors Initiative on a qualitative evaluation of their program. So that is what I'll be presenting on today. And I have to just make note, I injured my neck while here, so I have a hard time looking to the left. So I'm not a zombie. I'm just going to be looking straight ahead and trying to advance my slides without looking too much here. So thanks for being here this afternoon, and I would like to begin by first acknowledging the co-authors on this abstract. My colleague, Dr. Sal Yoshida, who's actually next door, conducting another session. Sarah Samuels, our president. Kathy Lewis, who is the director of the Center for Collaborative Solutions, which we'll hear a little bit more about in a moment. And Dr. Andy Fletcher, who is the after-school consultant and expert that works very closely with the program I'll be discussing. And she's actually here in the second row, and it was fortuitous. She's in town for policymaker meetings, so she's available to answer any questions about the program itself if you have them. I have no financial relationships to disclose. The Healthy Behaviors Initiative, if you have the opportunity, I really suggest visiting their website. We've included the link at the end. It's just chock full of resources for anybody working in after-school programs, and there are also a lot of really useful resources around nutrition and physical activity. So a little bit of background about the initiative. It was started in 2004 in California with funding from the Network for Healthy California, which used to be called the Nutrition Network, and two foundations. And its purpose is to strengthen after-school programs by working with their staff and with youth and their families to adopt healthy behaviors in nutrition and physical activity. The program continues to expand. There are currently 15 learning center sites and 9 programs, and there are plans to expand the program further in California and possibly even nationally. So then, what are the goals of the Healthy Behaviors Initiative? One of the major products of this initiative was the development of the Changing Lives, Saving Lives Guide. And this is really a roadmap, a step-by-step guide for after-school programs that become a part of this initiative. And it includes the exemplary practices, which are sort of a gold standard for after-school programs. I'm going to be talking about those exemplary practices more, but wanted to make the point that this is a resource that all of the programs, after-school programs, which really vary, they're all school-based, some are YMCA-based, and then we have other after-school providers as well, and they all follow this step-by-step guide. There are other components to the initiative to advance after-school, to link after-school programs across the state, and to kind of bring a common set of standards to their work, and then there's also training provided to these sites. So then what are these exemplary practices? They're summarized here. I'm not going to read through each of them, but they were important in our stakeholder interviews, which is what I'll be presenting on today. But in a nutshell, several of the practices look at vision. So is there intentionality in the work? What is the purpose behind the work? Youth development principles, meaningful learning activities. We had the opportunity to go out to several of the sites with Andy and could really see how invested these after-school program coordinators were in the after-school activities. Commitment to family, to the community, and to engaging these partners in the after-school program. Food security, which we found actually, you know, was a very important aspect of the work, and that some of the after-school programs were providing food boxes or backpack-type programs for youth because of food scarcity issues in their families. And then securing adequate and sustainable funding. I think that's, you know, always something that we need to be pursuing. So a couple of photos from the HBI website. And then to summarize, the purpose of our evaluation was to get a thorough understanding of these exemplary practices, to conduct site visits, and those were done to inform the development of our survey instrument, which I actually have here with me if there are any evaluators in the room and would like to take a look at the questions. We worked with a really great evaluation advisory committee that was convened by Kathy and Andy, and they were there from the beginning and provided input. And then in addition to these stakeholder interviews, we also developed an evaluation plan for HBI. So that was sort of a step looking to the future so that when they are able to attract resources for a cross-site in-depth evaluation, that they'll have a framework for conducting that evaluation. So the purpose of these interviews was to understand how these exemplary practices, those six practices that I had on the slide earlier, were changing the environments that support these healthy food choices and physical activity, which is what the PA stands for, in these programs. And we also wanted to look at how the learning centers, which are sort of the, I would call them sort of the beacon programs. These are programs that have successfully implemented all of these practices and that serve as go-to sites for other after-school programs if they have any questions or, you know, any challenges around implementing these practices. So how are they serving as mentors to other after-school programs? We conducted 17 interviews by phone. In most cases, there were two people involved in the interview, so it was very much a discussion that lasted about 45 minutes, and we spoke primarily with the directors of these programs or their on-site program coordinators. A brief overview of the questions. We wanted to learn about their integration of the practices. We wanted to see what was changing as a result of the implementation of these practices. We wanted to hear from the program directors and coordinators what was challenging about implementing the practices and how they're going about, either through measurement and their program site, or you know, if they could identify for us indicators for them that were telling them that the implementation of the practices was successful. So I'd like to share with you findings from the survey organized around some of the key questions that we wanted to answer through these surveys. So let's begin with the question, what does it mean to be an HBI Learning Center? And again, these are sort of the sites that have been very successful in implementing these standards. And when we talked to the sites, they took this role of mentoring the other programs very seriously and had regular visits from other after-school programs in their school districts where there would be just an exchange around what works, what's challenging, and they were actually invited to come observe the activities in the sites, and there's also a lot of follow-up by email, and so it's a really supportive relationship that was established there. And then, in what ways has the integration of the six exemplary practices changed the after-school program? A number one response was that it provided their work a vision. So with all of these programs all over California implementing these practices and then coming together regionally to talk about their successes and challenges, they were sort of all, you know, coalescing around this common vision. And several of them also commented that they felt they could focus more on physical activity, which we know from our research at Samuels and Associates on other other evaluations that after school is playing a really critical role in providing for physical activity opportunities that are not met during the school day. That becomes especially true with older youth, but they're in a sense filling the gap that is not, you know, being met today through the PE programs. And in what ways did they think that the exemplary practices were helping students, families, and staff in making healthier choices? They also reported, as we've heard from some of the other speakers today, an increased awareness about nutrition. And they also reported that the families are adapting and making some of these changes themselves. So there were a lot of activities for parents in these after-school programs, and the coordinators reported that they were bringing healthier foods, for example, to potluck events. And the staff themselves, there were quite a few who reported that they have changed their own practices, you know, that they were becoming more aware of, you know, maybe not bringing a sugar-sweetened beverages to the after-school program, and that they began to change themselves. So we asked them to think about which of these practice areas is the most important for changing their program's environment. You've probably seen the word nutrition, or the word environment, come up a lot, and it's something that we recommended to this program, that there be attention paid to how the nutrition and physical activity environments were changing in these programs. And they pretty much uniformly felt that practice area number one, which is intentionality, was the most important to them. And this is, of course, intentionality is a little bit difficult to quantify. And in conversations with Andy and Kathy, I think it really comes down to having this shared purpose and a degree of passion that was palpable in these sites, that they just really wanted to be the best after-school sites they possibly could. Also, strengthening food security, although only two respondents noted that, and I think it was probably in those programs where they had these active food security programs. And then, which were the most challenging of the six? There were a number of areas that were challenging to the program coordinators and directors, but one that sort of emerged at the top was the commitment to school, family, and community. And they talked about how difficult it is also to get parents engaged, you know, when they're working all day, and you know, when there are a lot of pressures on the family already. And but we also sensed a real openness to try and identify strategies to overcome those barriers to engaging the community and parents. Securing adequate and sustainable funding, I think that's just always, that's a challenge across the board in all of our work. And then for other sites, strengthening food security and approaching the work with vision, purpose, and intentionality came up. And then how is your program tracking or monitoring these changes? Well, one of our recommendations in this evaluation plan that we developed for HBI was really to do some standardized tracking using common measures across the site. They're all involved in some type of monitoring activity. And this is sort of a summary of what's going on in the programs currently. So it ranges all the way from logs, you know, where they note what activities they're offering, where they note their perceptions of the participants in the program. Some of them are actually tracking API scores, so academic performance scores in their schools, and using standardized survey measures. And this was largely driven by the type of funding that they were receiving for their program. But it was really interesting to see how much is actually being done in each of the programs. So the question in the future will be, how can we look across the sites to see how they're changing as a result of the program? So what indicators were important to the program staff? How did they know that they were being successful? A lot of that was based on observation, that they could actually see the youth in their program, the children in their program, changing in their awareness and knowledge. Several of them pointed to the enthusiasm around the program, that they have waiting lists for their programs, and that you know, the programs are viewed as a real asset in the school community. Positive feedback from the kids themselves or from their parents. And then in those schools that were doing tracking around physical activity levels, some of them were actually using the SOFIT in partnership with an evaluator to look at actual increases in physical activity level. They could see from those measures that there was improvement. And then finally, this question around sustaining and maintaining the changes. They felt very strongly that they could maintain the changes that they'd made in their after-school programs around nutrition and physical activity and in all of the other practice areas. And a number of these programs have already been in place for quite a while. What emerged at the top was really the importance of staff training. As we all know, there's a lot of turnover in these positions in after-school programs, and the coordinators and directors reported taking this very seriously, that you really needed to get the whole team on board in implementing these practices, and that doing so actually led to job satisfaction and pride in improving the after-school program. And then also support from above was very important, and from the Center for Collaborative Solutions, which is providing technical assistance and one-on-one coaching with Andy and with another consultant. So they go out to the sites and use the exemplary practices as sort of a check-in to see where they need additional support and assistance. And then to the question of serving as a role model, I think I covered most of these points earlier, but that they have really embarked upon serving as a resource, an on-site resource to other after-school programs. So I'd like to conclude with some of our overall recommendations from the stakeholder surveys. And beginning with professional development, we certainly heard from the interviewees that there's a lot of benefit in the training and technical assistance opportunities that are afforded through CCS and HBI. That there's definitely the potential for growth in increasing the awareness in the greater community, the surrounding community around these after-school programs. We did encourage the program to formalize their nutrition and physical activity policy. So many of the programs are implementing these practices, but they haven't yet formalized them as school program, after-school program, or school district, you know, if we were to take it up to the next level policy. I mentioned establishing a core set of outcomes to track across all of the programs so that we can see the collective impact. Continuing to identify financial resources, and we know that that's going on actively, and to continue to support these learning center sites and continue to study how they are, as mentors, contributing to improving after-school programs. Here's the CCS website where you can obtain more information about the HBI program, and then also our website if you have any follow-up questions. I also have business cards if you just want to send me an email. So thank you so much for your attention this afternoon. Thank you.